Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that is the opening theme for the show that swings every hump day, Wednesdays. Unfortunately, today we're doing the early version due to travel procedures and everything. We're trying to get this show in early, so we appreciate your time. The Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, the straw that stirs a drink, Danielle Orsino in Charlotte. 347-205-9631. Anything after that, blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, Danielle, the threes. How can people get a hold of you? How are you? And, boy, it's an early version, and we're back to regular scheduled time next week with a lot of more topics of the NFL.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Thank you to everybody who's joining us this early. I know it's an early day for everybody, so everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. If you're in the Richmond, Virginia area this weekend, you can jump and see me at GalaxyCon. I will be there, and I'm sure they'll want to talk about free agency because there have been so many movements. So we're going to jump into it, Mark, and what I'll do is I'll read off a move, and you can tell me good or bad, and then we'll go back to it, and you can tell me, you know, your favorite move or a movement you want to discuss. How's that?
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay, so let's start with the quarterbacks because everybody seemed to move on Monday. So we have Kirk Cousins signed with the Atlanta Falcons for 4 years, $180 million. What do you think? Good, bad?
Oh, I love it. I think Atlanta needed an upgraded quarterback, and I had them last year to do some damage and maybe get to the Super Bowl. Fell short, but he solidifies that quarterback position in Atlanta. Kind of reminds me of Steve Barkowski, and he's been a winner wherever he's been.
Okay. Baker Mayfield re-signed with Tampa Bay. 3 years, $100 million. We knew that was coming, so we'll say good on that. I think, you know, we're all kind of in agreement. They should give him a second chance.
You definitely knew that was going.
Yep.
Did you think otherwise?
No, I think
right.
I like it. Yeah.
I like it. I mean, yeah. You know, he catapulted into it and he fell. You know, when you look at Baker Mayfield being drafted by the Browns and then, you know, we saw that whole thing unfold with the Beckham Juniors and fell out of favor. Then Carolina, he was trying to resurrect. But when he went to the Rams, it just seemed like, you know, he kind of got that, you know, second wind. And, boy, it's catapulted him in Tampa. So I think it's a win-win situation.
I think it was a good move. Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers 1 year for $1.2 million. I'm going to say that was a steal for the Steelers. No pun intended.
Well, I think, you know, people say, well, he had a rough start in Denver and everything. Sometimes it's the foundation. Sometimes when you go to a city, you can get sidetracked by all the bright lights and everything of a city. I'm not saying Denver's like that, but Denver hasn't been relevant in years since Elway and Manning. So maybe it's just a foundation where it has a lot of cracks in it. Now you go to Pittsburgh where it's full concentration on football, and, boy, I'll tell you one thing. Denver's picking up that load on Russell Wilson, so the Steelers swooped in and said, we'll take advantage of it. He has thrown for more interceptions in one season than Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks have in 2 years. So I think it's definitely a win-win situation. I don't know what you think.
I think it was a good financial move. I don't know how he'll fit with the culture yet, and when I say culture, I mean more – Tomlin and being in Pittsburgh in the sense of I hope he comes in with a new, fresh attitude, and that's all I'm going to say on it, and I'm going to reserve judgment. I've been hard on Wilson. We know that. I'm just going to wait and see on this. You know, let's see what he can do. Gardner Minshew signed with the Vegas Raiders, 2 years, $25 million.
Oh, I like that. I think he another guy that resurrected his career with the Colts last year, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he's a bridge. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if – I still think the Raiders could be a dark horse in the draft. I'm not sure he's their number one guy. I think he could be a bridge based on the moves they make. But I like Gardner. I still think he's got Minshew magic, so I'm in on this. I think it was a good deal for him. I don't know if he's worth $25 million for 2 years because he's a little inconsistent. But I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm going to say good for him, and let's see what happens. Jacoby Brissett, back to New England, 1 year, $8
million. Yeah, you know what? He's a traveling secretary here, man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him in Washington. We've seen him in quite a few cities. Sometimes you get the tag that, you know, you're just an adequate backup. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what New England did with Mac Jones, why they gave up on him. But we've talked about this before, Danielle. These teams that have drafted quarterbacks, their window of opportunity is slim and none. They throw them in. If they can't perform in 2-3 games, they put them on the scrap heap, and they're drafting a quarterback the next year. You see, case in point, San Francisco with Trey Lance. You're starting to see it in other cities. The Bears are getting ready to move Fields. Zach Wilson with the Jets. And now Mac Jones in New England. It's terrible because obviously they don't follow the pattern that the Green Bay Packers have done with Love, because if that pattern was brought to the forefront, you'd have quarterbacks that would learn the system in and out.
Well, I think with Brissett, I think, is a bridge, but it's going to depend on what the Patriots do in the draft. Mac Jones was sent to the Jaguars. I think that was more a Belichick leftover, and he was a little bit collateral damage. So I think they just wanted him out, fix, you know, get rid of the old regime, bring in the new. Jameis Winston signed with the Cleveland Browns, 1 year, $4 million. I like Jameis Winston. I've always liked him. I think he never got to reach his real full potential. I'm a little torn on this one because I feel like with everything that Flacco did, he should have gotten a little more of a chance, and maybe he still will. Maybe it's still there. I'm not sure. You know, I've heard rumblings of him going somewhere else, but, you know, we'll see. What do you think of Jameis Winston going?
Well, he wasn't going to, you know, do anything in Tampa, not with Baker Mayfield there. But, you know, here's another guy trying to find himself. I take him over Jacoby Brissett. Cleveland just – I mean, I don't know what Cleveland's doing. I mean, they had Deshaun Watson there. They gave him a boatload of money. Is Cleveland another Denver where they just throwing bad money away and they're going to start to eat some of these contracts? I don't know, but Cleveland's starting to remind me of Denver a little, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm lost on Cleveland. I just think is a mess. I think after what they did with Mayfield, I just think Cleveland has just deteriorated. So, you know what, that's their own fault for the Deshaun Watson debacle. You knew what you were getting. You still went with the guarantee. You made your bed, sleep in it. That's how I'm looking at it. And it's a shame because the defense is great. There's a lot of great players. You still went with Deshaun. So I don't know what to tell you on that. I could have seen Winston in Vegas, though. I think he could have gone to Vegas, and I still think that would have been an interesting pair. So we'll see what happens. I think he's better than a backup. And I don't think he's getting enough credit. He's better than Mariota. So I think he could have done better. Tyrod Taylor signed with the Jets 2 years. We still don't know the amount. They haven't released it. This was a great pickup for the Jets. They learned their lesson. Have a good backup. Finally, we got through. This was a move that should have been made last year, but okay, you learned now. So they got a solid guy. A good move. You know, no complaints here. He's still staying in New York. He knows the turf. What are you going to do? Great move.
Well, and the other one was an interesting one is Jacobs leaving Vegas, wouldn't you say? Because I like Jacobs a lot.
Yeah, we'll get. Josh Jacobs. I think that was an interesting thing. We'll get into the running backs. We have just Sam Darnold went with the Vikings for 1 year, and Drew Lock signed with the Giants for 1 year. As for the running backs, this is going to hurt, and we will get into this. I will have a whole editorial, but for right now, I'm just going to read them. Saquon left. He signed with Philly, 3 years, $37.75 million. I cried a little, I'm not going to lie. It flashed across the screen. I cried. I have no hate toward him at all. So all the other Giants fans out there that are, like, hating on him, you can't hate. New York did not even counter. And I will give you my feelings on this later. I'm not going to do it right now. Josh Jacobs signed with the Green Bay Packers, 4 years, $48 million. That's the one you were talking about just now, Mark?
Yes.
I'm sorry to see Jacobs go, but you can't deny 4 years, $48 million with Green Bay. Green Bay dropped dropped Rodgers, there was a lot going on there. This was a great pickup for Green Bay. This is exactly what they needed. I think Josh Jacobs is going to do phenomenal in Green Bay. I know Max Crosby was really sad to see him go, but great pickup. Green Bay made some moves.
Yeah. Can you imagine Max Crosby being a free agent, what he would command in the open market?
Oh, I can't even imagine. But him and Josh Jacobs were best buddies, and I think he did a beautiful sign-off to him. There was no hate. It was awesome. But awesome move for Green Bay. Derrick Henry signed with the Baltimore Ravens. We called that last week. This is a move that should have happened before the trade deadline last year, and I don't think we would have been celebrating the Chiefs, to be quite honest with you, if they had made this move last year. He signed with the Ravens, 2 years, $16 million. Big thing, Tony Pollard ran from Dallas, signed with the Tennessee Titans, 3 years, $24 million. Austin Eckler signed with the Commanders, 2 years, $11.4 million. DeAndre Swift signed with the Chicago Bears, 3 years, $24 million. J.K. Dobbins is still free. Devin Singletary signed with the Giants, 3 years, $16.5 million. Gus Edwards signed with the Chargers. He's left the Ravens, so this is what kind of gave room for Derrick Henry. He's with the Chargers, 2 years, $6.5 million. Pretty good price. Then there were some others, little moves, but
the Steelers picked up the middle. The Steelers picked up the middle linebacker from the Ravens, Queen, I think, 3 years, $41 million.
Yeah, the linebackers, there were some major, major moves with the linebackers. We have Patrick Queen signed with the Steelers, 3 years, $41 million. We had Kenneth Murray Jr. signed with the Titans. 2 years, $15.5 million. Blake Cashman signed with the Vikings, 3 years, $22.5 million. Frankie Louvi signed with the Commanders, 3 years, $31 million. I mean, there were some moves. Azeez signed with the Texans, 3 years, $34 million. Then we had, like I said, we had the wide receivers, which is still an interesting thing. I've had a lot of people say, how come Ridley hasn't signed? Here's the deal with Ridley. If everybody's wondering, like, Calvin Ridley, oh, my God. If he re-signs with the Jaguars before 4 p.m. Wednesday, then the Falcons get a second-round pick. If he signs after Wednesday, then they get a third-round pick. So it actually behooves both parties, the Jaguars and Ridley, to re-sign him after Wednesday. There is interest on both parties to stay with the Jaguars. So it's not necessary that they don't want Ridley. It's just the fact that if he waits, he benefits the Jaguars in their picks, in giving up a pick. That's why there's no movement yet on Ridley. It's not that there's no interest. It's just he's trying to do right by the Jags, and actually if he holds out, he could wind up with more money. So I wouldn't be surprised if he stays with the Jags. T. Higgins, as we know, was franchise tagged. Michael Pittman re-signed with the Colts, 3 years, $70 million. Mike Evans re-signed Tampa Bay, 2 years, $41 million. Gabe Davis signs with the Jags for 3 years, $39 million. That was why people thought Ridley wasn't going. I wouldn't read too much into that. Darnell Mooney signed with the Falcons, 3 years, $39 million. Then there's some interesting ones that are still kind of out there. You know, Paris Campbell, we knew the Giants weren't taking him back. He's still free. Odell Beckham is still free. Michael Thomas is still free. So there are some bigger names that are floating around, but it's still just the start. So I think people are reading too much into it. Chase Claypool is still free. I think these guys are going to find homes, but I think it's either going to be once we know what's going on at quarterback with the draft.
Right.
And where you can plug them in. I think, you know, it's like I said, it's still really early. You know, everybody kind of wants an answer, but it's still really soon. You know, there were Chris Jones interior, you know, your D lines. Chris Jones re-signed with KC. 5 years, this is mind-blowing, $158 million.
Jeez.
You know, Fletcher Cox retired. That was kind of, nobody saw that coming. Maybe somebody there did, I don't know. But that, you know, that's like, Chris Jones is just, I can't even believe it. So there were some other moves. The big move was, Josh Allen was franchise tagged, and Brian Burt was franchise tagged originally by the Carolina Panthers for one year and then traded to the New York Giants. So the Giants picked that up, and Daniel Hunter signed with the Houston Texans. 2 years, $49 million. Bryce Huff went to the Eagles, 3 years at $51 million. Chase Young is still available. Jadeveon Clowney is still available. So those are two names. I did not think we were going to see Chase Young still available. I thought he would have been picked up by now because he did have a great year, you know, not a question on that. So there were definitely some moves. I don't know. What move to you, Mark, stands out over just the first day and a half of free agency? What move is like, wow, okay, I didn't see that coming, or that was a great move? What was one thing for you?
I think the big thing is, and we kind of figured that Russell Wilson was going to go to Pittsburgh. He could have went anywhere. But taking Pittsburgh and then Pittsburgh picking up Queen, the middle linebacker, was kind of a surprise. Eckler going to the Redskins. And before that, the Ertz pickup for the Skins. So we kind of figured Cousins was going to go to Atlanta. And, you know, when you look at his history, like I alluded to earlier, he's won wherever he's been, whether it's Washington or Minnesota and Atlanta, so it'll be an upgraded quarterback there. I think the one big thing, surprise that stood out to me, was Mac Jones going to Jacksonville. I thought the Patriots would at least try to keep him because, you know, they moved up in the draft to try to draft this kid. So that was the big shocker there. And Henry going to the Ravens. So it's going to be – if the AFC North was smash-mouth football between the Steelers and Ravens, it's going to take it up two notches now when they meet each other for two games. So that's going to be really interesting because this guy reminds me of Earl Campbell. He's healthy. So it's going to be interesting if he could stay healthy. But he's a moose, man, to take that load off of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I was for this move last season. And I feel if this move had been made last season, we'd be talking about a very different Super Bowl. I really do believe this because I think the run game was the one thing, especially when you watch that playoff game with the Chiefs and the Ravens, it was one of the major, major weaknesses. And I feel it was a move that should have been made. Whether it could have been made, different story, I get it. You know, I'm not sure what exactly went down, but I think this is a huge pickup for them. So kudos to the Ravens on that. I think smart move, great. I was very surprised at how quiet Dallas was.
Yeah.
In this whole thing, there was nothing going on. So I think it's very interesting, which means either they're rebuilding and they're going to count on it in the draft, or I don't know, because – they pretty much did nothing. Miami I'm a little concerned about because Miami seems gutted. So I don't know what's going on there. And I'm surprised about the Justin Fields situation. You know, what I heard was that there was a lot of interest in Fields. There were people sniffing around, a lot of teams sniffing around, from the Giants. Obviously, the Falcons were sniffing, the Raiders. There were a lot of teams looking at him, but the price for him that Chicago was demanding was astronomical, that no one was meeting it. Now, I've also heard Chicago's trying to walk that line back a little bit and saying that they are not fully convinced Caleb Williams is their guy. Now, what that's going to mean, I'm confused now, because it's like, okay, either you're going to then get what we had talked about, was then you bring in a wide receiver, you know, you go for Marvin Harrison Jr., you go for Rome, you go for somebody that's going to give him a weapon and you keep Fields, or you go get a veteran, like you bring in a Ryan Tannehill or somebody like that, and you kind of put a little fight in Fields, or you give somebody that if Fields really is not your guy, you've got somebody, and then you've got this amazing weapon. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure, because it's like you can't give somebody a hammer if they don't know how to use it. You know, I think Tannehill still got some gas left in the tank. So do you want to waste Marvin Harrison Jr. on Tannehill? You know, it's a back and forth. But I think Chicago, I'm looking at Ryan Poles going, do you really know what you're doing here? Because
right.
You could have dumped Fields off. And instead you went asking for all these prices and it didn't happen. Could something still happen in the draft? Could, definitely could. But I think they wasted a lot of time with this.
Well, here's the thing, Danielle, and you've got the experience and knowledge with what's going on in the NFL. But the Bears, first of all, are a Mickey Mouse operation. They haven't had a 4,000-yard passer in their history. Anybody that goes here seems to fall off a cliff. It's a very slippery slope. They don't know how to draft, because if you look at the Bears and you look at the Panthers, they're almost joined at the hip. I mean, they've both screwed up the draft, given number one picks. Now you got a guy that doesn't even want to go there, so he's pulling an Eli Manning or a John Elway. He's going to force his hand to Washington, and you know, rightfully so. It's his hometown and everything. But the Bears are asking for too damn much, and when you ask for too damn much, it reminds me of the Panthers when they wanted so damn much for the players they wanted a couple years ago, and now nobody wants them. They're trying to give them away. So you can ask for the moon. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get it, but if you come semi-close to it, why are you standing out holding out for more and more? You know, it's almost like going into a barbershop. You know, it's almost, I say this all the time. It's almost like going into a barbershop and you screwed up your sideburn and you go, hey, can you even it out a little? Well, that's going to cost you $10. Well, now I'm going to walk out of here. I was willing to give you $5 to bring it up an inch, but now you're trying to be greedy, and now you lost future business in case I want to come back here for a haircut. So, I don't know.
That's the way I
feel about the Bears.
I'm looking at them going, you know, you had something going last year. Like, I
thought
you were getting the defense going. I had a lot of faith in you. Now I'm looking at you going, Ryan Poles, do you know what you're doing? I'm really confused by all of this. My other thing is obviously Saquon leaving. I get why he left. The Giants didn't even counter. I'm wondering, though, for all the Giants fans that are, like, so mad and upset, I kind of look at it like a Christian McCaffrey Panthers situation.
Yeah.
The Panthers knew they weren't going anywhere. They knew that they're in a rebuilding. They couldn't give this guy – he's too much of a talent. They let him go to the 49ers. Now you're looking at McCaffrey and looking at his career going, wow, he resurrected. He's great. I kind of look at it almost as a little bit of respect. Put Saquon behind an O-line that can actually give him time. Give him a quarterback that will appreciate the run. You can develop the RPO, all this stuff, and let the guy have the career he was supposed to have. I'm looking at it as a little more respect. I get that he always wanted to be a Giant. Totally understand that. I appreciate it. But you were touted as someone, there'll never be another Barry Sanders, let me be clear, but you were touted as somebody who could be in that conversation. and the next great kind of running back, we never
right.
gave you the opportunity. Let's give them the opportunity. That's how I looked at it, and I feel like it was almost a mercy killing, like, go. Peace be with you and go, because we know deep down we can't offer you that. You're in the sunset. Go and see what you can do. And, yes, it's to a rival. I'm not happy about it, but you know what? They got a better O-line. It's a better quarterback. Do it, and you were still here for 6 years. You still set these records. You're respected. The only joy I am getting, and this is a small little piece of this joy, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a tiny little piece of this joy. The only joy I'm getting is that Saquon can finally tell Tiki Barber where to go after all of this stuff, because he finally let them know Tiki has never been nice to him, and he doesn't have to play nice anymore, which we kind of always knew, because Tiki doesn't want any running back coming in and getting close to his, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, records, because I don't feel Tiki Barber was that great of a running back, and I've said that. But Tiki was talking crap about Saquon last week when
yeah.
he was kind of, hey, will the Eagles pick him up? And he basically said, don't go. You'll ruin your reputation with the Giants fans and whatever. So when he said, when he made the announcement he was going, Tiki Barber basically said, you're dead to me, and kind of was smiling and all this. And Tiki and, Saquon unloaded. He just said, you know, you've been a hater since I got to New York, and all this dead to me talk, don't do it with a smile in my face when you see me. And he just unloaded, and, you know, I can't say, I'm not upset about it. He said, you know, I had to go and get where the money is. And then he came back with a better line, which was, you know, something to the effect of, at least I didn't leave my teammates. I never, you know, bounced on my teammates and kind of this whole thing. And called Tiki out for when he left us in the middle of the season. And I was kind of like,
yeah.
Well, at least you finally said it. At least you finally said
yeah.
it. He's like, I was great in the
Well,
locker room.
And not only that, you know, sometimes in life, in
I
order to
it.
Move up, you got to move on. And, you know, maybe it'll be a fresh start. He goes back to his college state, Penn State. So I like Saquon Barkley. The Eagles made some pickups. Like you said in the pre-chat, they're going all offense that defense. But, boy, we've come to the end of the show, and this thing gone by quick. And I know tonight you got a show with Chelsea Rice. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and tell us a little bit about that before we close up shop.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be Chelsea and I will be back with A Novel Beginning. Super excited about that. We'll probably give you a little GalaxyCon preview. This weekend we will be at GalaxyCon Richmond at the Richmond Convention Center, March 15th through the 17th. So Richmond, Virginia, come down and see us. We'll be at the Pop-Up Bookshop. You can always get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. But like I said, I will be live in person at the Richmond Convention Center, downtown Richmond, Virginia, with GalaxyCon. And you can come by and talk all about free agency and everything that's going on, because I'm sure by this weekend more moves will be made. So I'm super excited about all of that. And, yes, I'll give you all the tea on the Tiki Barber thing, because it doesn't stop there. It's been ongoing to where the rest of the NFL has picked up on it. I'm actually eating this up, and it's wonderful, and I love every single minute of it. So that's what's going on here.
Can't wait to hear more of it. And we'll be back next week at a regular scheduled time, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. For Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, heading to Richmond. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, waking up with the Roosters in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. Thank you very much for getting up early this morning. Have a blessed week. We'll talk to you next week at a regular scheduled time. Have a good one, guys.